We've established an audio medium where people are scared to talk.
Let's all give Nick Saban three fingers.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Sergey Bobovka.
Ground beef.
Mark Hockman.
That's my top category on new porn. McRib dunking.
So was Argentina close to Germany?
Meow.
Channing Crowder.
I set my house on fire at 8 years old. That's why I got the butt foot.
I know how to barbecue. I like my coals hot.
You set yourself up as an idiot, you can be an idiot.
Alejandro Solana.
Hawk, when you mispronounce something, that is better than sex for me.
Sports.
If I say a duck and pull a truck, hug him up.
To what?
To the truck.
Shout out to String Team.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands up in the air if you's a true player.
More sports.
Man, you 40 years old, Jimmy. Put your meat on the table.
Let them know.
Where mama at?
Boston, we're coming for that ass.
The most sports.
Who's bigger, Taylor Swift or Pusha T?
The Hawkman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Not really 2020, 24 hours to go. 2 hours to go. 2 hours to go, and all the NFL rosters will be down to 53. 53-man rosters just 2 hours away.
If you send me a Ben DiNucci screenshot again, I'm jumping on you.
So Ben DiNucci is available. I say go get him.
I'm jumping on you.
Who else did I send? That was my way of taking notes for myself this morning. CJ Beathard is available. Go get him.
Ooh, yeah. We'll have six quarterbacks on the roster. That's good.
Let's see here. Bailey Zappi is available. Go get him.
For what?
You need someone. You need someone.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah.
What, some a vet?
Yeah, vet, you know, not going to dress, but, you know, vet, a Ben DiNucci, a CJ Beathard, a Bailey Zappi, a Taylor Heineke.
This is the problem. I actually agree with you until you start naming names.
Well, who do you think is becoming available today?
I don't know.
You think someone markedly better than Ben DiNucci is becoming available today?
There's somebody better on the line right now with us better than Ben DiNucci.
You're the guy who shops at the flea market expecting to find a Picasso, right? I mean, this is a flea market find today. You're looking for Ben DiNucci's. The whole section is Ben DiNucci's.
It's in the back. That good quarterback's in the back somewhere.
There's someone on a radio show out west right now going, Mike White. Mike White was great with the Jets. Go get him.
Go get him. I don't know if they panic with a quarterback. I take Skyler over those names you just said. That's a question.
Skyler's the number two. There's no question. I'm just talking about a third guy to play the Mike White or Skyler role. Ben DiNucci is that guy.
32 GMs in the NFL. No one got as excited for Ben DiNucci as you did.
We'll see. I guarantee you there's GMs excited about Bailey Zappi. Bailey Zappi did not look horrible as a Patriot. He did not look horrible.
He got his job taken by Mac Jones, who was terrible.
Yeah, but he was the number one. He was the first round draft pick for them. There was no chance that wasn't going to happen. That's the reality. Drafting someone in the first round, they're going to get that. Bailey Zappi will be snapped up before the show ends today at 6. And maybe by the Dolphins.
No.
I'm not kidding you.
I don't think the Dolphins have to panic with the quarterback.
It's not a panic, though.
It is a Zappi. Okay, let me see. We got a Brian Hoyer there. We got a Blaine Gabbert. We got a Trevor Siemian.
But when you say there, what do you mean there?
You know what? Well, we do have a guy that's played a lot of football in Miami.
You're saying guys who are available right now?
Yeah.
Those are guys who weren't even cut today. They were just out there already. You're going to the rack of the people who weren't even on a roster today. You're going off Broadway.
Body's healed up. Ain't have to go through camp. Shoulder feels good.
You want Brian Hoyer over Bailey Zappi?
I want Tannehill over Zappi.
That's what we're doing here.
You said we're shopping at the flea market. I'm not going to find a Picasso.
Mike Harley Jr. was released from the Dolphins. Nick Needham, biggest name, I believe, was released. He was such a great story, too. I remember when he was undrafted. Remember he had that preseason. All of a sudden, I think he was kind of forced into duty. And how many seasons has he been on the team? Three seasons?
No, since 2019.
Wow. Wow.
No, he before he hurt Solana, before he got hurt.
I think he tore his Achilles.
It wasn't just a great story. He was a contributor before he got hurt.
He was legit. He was legit.
It was him and what's the other safety? Brandon Jones?
Brandon Jones, yeah, Blitz Boy.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he wants to be called Blitz Boy.
No,
but
he doesn't. I mean,
before those guys got hurt, they could play.
Before Vic Fangio said, "I'm not running that zero defense." I mean, Brandon Jones was a stud on this team. Then he's like,
yes,
"Hey,
please
go cover guys." And Brandon Jones was like, "Ah, coach, I don't really think you understand what
when
I
you
do
say,
here."
When you say cover guys, you're talking to me.
I was around him. I was close enough, wasn't I? Yeah, he wasn't a great coverage safety. I'll give you that.
Like when the program director would say to me, do some in-depth analysis of the Heat's offense. I go, when you say in-depth analysis, you're talking about a statue in a corner? Because that's what I do.
Let's talk about Tyler Hero's new tattoos. That's more
somebody. Somebody texts in and we're dumpster diving. That's what today is. You're dumpster diving.
Yeah.
Somebody threw a whole bunch of stuff out, and you're like, "Oh my God, there's a quarter of loaf of bread here. What are you guys doing?"
I hope a quarter loaf of bread is a lineman. You can find some fat dudes. There'll be some decent fat dudes out there today.
Well, Nick Needham gets waived by the Dolphins. That's your training camp report. We're going to have, obviously, big names that, or at least recognizable names that come through the line the next couple of hours until 4 o'clock. This training camp report is sponsored by Miami-Dade County Public Schools Technical Colleges. Are you ready to level up your career game? MDCPS Technical Colleges have got you covered. Choose from tons of programs, learn from top-notch certified instructors, and get real-world experience. And the best part, you can graduate debt-free in just 1 to 2 years. If you're ready to make the move, log on to careerinayear.com or call 305-558-8000. MDCPS Technical College is your best choice for a brighter future. Ben DiNucci countdown continues. Taylor Heinicke countdown continues. There's a lot of stuff to get to today. Tuan Russell is going to join us. Look ahead to Saturday, Canes and Gators. Ooh. Tuan always has some pearls of wisdom. I enjoy him being on my side, not against my side. Man, you just have to sit there and take it.
This week is getting long already. What's today?
Tuesday.
This week is getting long.
Ian O'Connor is going to join us today. He wrote the book about Aaron Rodgers that was just released. Longtime ESPN guy and very good writer. Get some insight from him on Aaron, a fascinating guy. But I want to know what Ian O'Connor says. Like, I want to know what he like. I always go to the default describing Aaron Rodgers, and I want to ask him what kind of season he thinks he's going to have for the Jets this season. But I always default to fascinating when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. But Ian O'Connor spent a lot of time with him. I wonder if he's actually fascinating. It may be the wrong descriptor that I'm using. I see him from afar and I go, oh, that guy's fascinating. Jeopardy, vaccine denier, Joe Rogan guy, one of the greatest quarterbacks who's ever lived. Like he's got like all these different tenets that I find fascinating. But he might not be fascinating. He might just be boring and some whacked out opinions, or he might be the world's most fascinating man. I don't know.
The list you just said might be the only thing interesting about him.
Might be the only thing.
He could be a guy that sits and watches, really sits and watches, QVC all day. Like
I know some vaccine deniers.
Yes.
They're not fascinating. Yes. They're kind of dolts. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know if he's really fascinating or not.
As you described it, it makes me think of Ricky Williams. where everybody knows the thought of Ricky and you've heard all the stories, and then people know that I know him and they're like, how's Ricky Williams? I'd be like, hey, he's you know, pretty normal. Like,
that was it. Like when I worked with Dan, and Dan was so friendly with Ricky, and it would always be fascinating this and fascinating that. And then I met him and I was like, I don't know, fascinating.
He's quiet.
It's quiet.
He's going to laugh at you. Fascinating. And not funny. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, who doesn't want to go to Australia? You know, like he went to Australia. He lived in a tent. Okay. I'm sure he was really in a tent for 30 days. Yeah, I'm sure he wasn't a bonvoy.
And the guy that's in the tent by himself, excitement all around.
Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, we'll talk to Ian O'Connor today about Aaron Rodgers. Like Eduardo Solana, that guy strikes me as fascinating.
Yes.
Because I don't think your dad lives by anyone's norms but his own. And he considers his norms to be the norms. I find your dad to be fascinating. I could probably, like, fascinating but head-scratching. And maybe Aaron Rodgers is that. I don't know. I was going to ask Ian O'Connor. But, like, there are people I know, like Solana's dad, who I find fascinating. Because he really, what I gather from him, and God bless him that he can go through life this way, he does what he wants to do. Doesn't really care about society's norms.
Solana, how many times has your dad rolled down a one-way on purpose because he just wanted to go that way?
He kind of just, he's a problem on the road. We can put it that way. He's a problem on the road. But that also could just be being South American. Like, I'm South American. Go to South America. There are no rules on the road.
Right, anything goes.
Anything goes.
Oh, you have a car? All right, find your way.
This side, that side, doesn't matter.
The lines on the road, they're more like guidelines than they are actual rules that you have to follow.
Nobody else knows how to drive, I'm sure, when Eduardo's driving. No one else knows how to drive. He's the only one who can. Anyway, let's take a look at headlines here for the start of the show, and then Tuan Russell will join us. And by 4 o'clock, we will find out who is taking the coveted Mike White role, the Dolphins, whatever that role might be.
These headlines are driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know it trucks.
Here's my predictions. By 6 o'clock tonight, Mike White is on a team. Ben DiNucci is on a team. And Bailey Zappi is on a team. Those are my three predictions.
Ooh, I get Mike.
Got him, Jimmy, because I saw Solana tell you to write them down. But I don't think you heard but one of them.
I don't know.
Jimmy, what were my predictions?
You know what?
Hold on, Crowder. This is very important. Jimmy, what were my predictions?
That Mike White was going to be on a team.
Right?
I forget the
I know. I had three of them, and I saw what happened. Solana was like, write those down, and then you gave him the got it.
No, he.
But yeah, you didn't.
You know, he told me to mark it.
Oh, okay. I got you. I do love the fact that Jimmy does not pay attention to this show. He just doesn't pay attention.
He just laughs, but he doesn't even laugh when we're laughing.
He laughs. He's fascinating.
I am thinking of putting together a video montage of Jimmy falling asleep on camera. It happened last week. I don't remember for the life of me
your
what
dad,
we were
your dad just
about.
DM'd me, by the way. Rules are made to be broken. But he's not, like, Eduardo's not giving you shtick there. He lives his life that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like, I'm very considerate. I go to a restaurant. If it's 20 minutes before closing time, I don't go in there. Because I know they're already starting to clean up in the back. They're not looking for guests. My guess is Eduardo, if he shows up 1 minute before it says that restaurant's supposed to be closed on the door, he is walking in, sitting down. He is starting with an appetizer. He's ending with dessert, and he's going to be there for 2.5 hours.
Yes. I love those people.
There are people, they go through life like that. God bless them.
Yes. And then as they get, and I'm not calling Eduardo old. He's, you know, he's long in the tooth, we'll say. Those people get older, they really stop giving a damn.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, Big Randy's getting to that point. hey, Randy, there was a line here. I didn't worry about that. No. They do worry about it. They've been here for 10 minutes. Hey, they're okay. They're okay. Walk straight to the front of the line.
I picture Eduardo just sits where he wants on an airplane. I prefer here in the aisle.
We've had some airplane incidents, absolutely.
Gets mad when somebody says that's their seat.
Right.
No, aye, aye.
He wants to sleep on airplanes. Like when he flies to Uruguay, he wants the full row to himself. So if there's like a seat open on another row and the person, let's say he got the window, the person in his row on the aisle, he has no problem telling them, hey, why don't you go sit over there so I can sleep? I would never in my life.
I would never in a million. If somebody wants to move on their own, God bless them. I would never tell someone to move from their seat.
Crowder, you're take off your shoes in an airplane guy. My father is take off his shoes in an airplane guy, but he'll do it whether he's wearing socks, if he's not wearing socks, if he's had a long day. Like it doesn't matter. He is not concerned with anybody else's opinion. Nobody.
There was an older woman flight attendant on one of these recent flights I took, and I took my shoes off, and I walk into the bathroom, and she snapped. That's so nasty. Go put
that
your shoes
nasty.
Back on.
That's disgusting.
Like, no, I got socks. It's okay. You're going to the bathroom. You see what's on? That's not water on the floor of that bathroom.
Right. That is gross.
That's okay, ma'am. I let my feet handle this.
You have urine-soaked socks for the rest of the flight?
Let my feet handle that trouble.
That is just foul. I mean, sure, your feet are used to it because there's ass on your foot. I get the concept, but still. Let's throttle back that behavior. Let's throttle that behavior back, shall we? You're a diamond platinum flyer at this point. Yeah, Let's throttle that back, shall we?
Do what I want to. This is my plane, actually.
You're not on Spirit, okay? Let's throttle that one.
This is my plane.
Let me present you a hypothetical here, Crowder. I was in Coco Cay when I went on this cruise, which is Royal Caribbean's private island. I was at the beach. They have bathrooms at the beach, and they're very well taken care of, right? Like, this isn't the... Whoa, I just hit my mic. This isn't the beach bathrooms on 7...
Jimmy's paying attention to that.
Yeah. In South Beach, like, they have somebody coming in constantly to clean these bathrooms, but it's still a bathroom. And I saw people walking from the beach into the bathroom barefoot. Barefoot! Mm-hmm.
I can do that at a beach or a swimming pool because I'm going to go and put my feet right back into the swimming pool or the ocean.
But you're stepping on pee.
Right, but I'm going to wash it right off. I don't have a crack in the bottom of my foot that's going to allow the urine into my foot.
But it's not Thank about you. The urine going into your foot. I realize, like, the concern of disease
I saw a great,
is not there.
I don't know if it was a comedian or a commentator or whatever, but he goes, you know, they have these toilet cover seats, you know, that you go into a toilet and you put that cover seat down so that you don't sit on the actual toilet itself. He goes, I'm sorry, isn't that what my ass is for? It's just a big hunk of meat and skin. Like, isn't it literally there so I can sit where I want to sit and not worry about it? I have an ass so that I don't have to put that little piece of paper down.
You sent us that clip before.
It's so right on.
At the end, I think he says, I'm going to let my ass handle this one. He sent us that before.
Let's do headlines real quick because Twan's going to join us. I want to make sure we have enough time for him. Then Ian O'Connor's going to join us. I want to make sure we have enough time for him. So quick look at the headlines here.
They're driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. Hawk, can I interest you in Nathan Peterman cut by the Raiders today?
I'm not certain, will be picked up by 6. I am telling you, Mike White, Ben DiNucci, Bailey Zappi will all have new teams by 6 o'clock tonight.
I'm off on DiNucci. I got you. White and Zappi, I'm with you. DiNucci's, okay. DiNucci's unemployed. Right. Just tell me. He goes to bed unemployed tonight.
Jimmy, what's my hot take?
White, DiNucci, and Zappi. All
Jimmy! Let's go.
He wasn't confident in that Zappi.
He's like White, DiNucci, Zappi, all have asses. You're close. You're so close.
Really listening.
I'm not, maybe I'll just dangle a little Desmond Ridder for you. Does that wet your beak?
No. That's who we'll end up with.
He's unemployed.
Ben DiNucci, and I, you know why I think I have a proclivity towards Ben DiNucci? I think I bet him on a game that he started for Dallas or something, and I think he won.
Might have been during our show, too. Remember during the COVID years?
Oh, yeah.
Like random yes. games?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. And Bailey's happy. I feel like he's had some decent games.
And he's young. Ben DiNucci's like 29.
Yeah. Ah, youngster.
A puppy. A 29-year-old puppy.
Hawk went through a ton of the Dolphins' roster moves. They started the day with 85 players, which meant they had to cut 32, and we're about halfway there right now. The big story regarding UMUF, I know we mentioned it at the end of the show yesterday, but Mario Cristobal, he clarified yesterday that the Canes added a time management coach to their staff.
Love that. You cannot afford stupid losses again. You can, like, whatever it takes to avoid that, hire 10 guys. I don't, like, you're responsible for the first minute. You're responsible for the second. Hire as many, but you cannot afford stupid losses.
You hire somebody to tell you what, 10 seconds?
Nine, I don't know. Just seven. Someone. No, someone who literally knows you need to kneel the ball right now. Where Mario Cristobal says, my head is swimming during a game. I'm thinking about offense, defense. I'm thinking about all the personnel. I need someone who literally, they are looking at every scenario when it comes to the clock, when it comes to the end of a half, comes to the end of the game. Like, I don't ever have to think about that because I don't want to make that mistake again.
Napier does that with his brain.
Yeah, that'll work out well this year. Chris Brooks has been cut by the Dolphins.
Oh, wow. That's probably a bigger shocker than Nick Needham, to be honest.
Yeah. Barry Jackson says Chris Brooks, who has been in concussion protocol, was waived. So the known Dolphins cuts today are 18. About 10 more to go, he said.
Wow.
He'll be on a team quickly.
Yeah.
That probably means Jeff Wilson Jr. is going to make this team. I believe it was going to come down to Jeff Wilson Jr. or Chris Brooks. I felt like the nod was going to go to CB, but I guess it's going to be Jeff Wilson.
Looks like your guy Storm Duck is going to make the squad, Jimmy. I don't want to jinx him right now, but I think Storm Duck might be on the 53.
Let's go.
49ers have waived Robbie Chosen.
Oh, man, that's my buddy.
Bring him back.
Barry Jackson says Dolphins with only two totally healthy receivers, Robbie Chosen is an option.
No.
Well, you just said bring him back.
As a troll, there's no way in hell I want Robbie Chosen back. The only pass he caught last year that was worth a damn was Mike White throwing him a 70-yard bomb for a touchdown when we were up against the Denver Broncos. Like, there was nothing
else. Bring them
both
back. Let's bring them both back. Let's do that again.
He got his opportunity, baby.
You got the Broncos, so maybe.
Just all right, for that game.
The Marlins, they did lose yesterday 3-2. Any of you guys see Griffin Conine make his major league debut?
I did not.
So he entered as a pinch hitter in the ninth inning, and he struck out. The Marlins have lost 8 of the last 10, game 2 of their 4-game series in Denver versus Colorado is tonight, 8:40 p.m.
All right,
your weather. From the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm, call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com, free consultations 24-7. A decent afternoon in South Florida. It's around 88 degrees. Tonight the lows will be in the upper 70s, low 80s. Gentlemen, that is your weather.
Twan Russell speaks the Hurricanes gospel. Next.
There are a lot of ways to make whiskey, but there's only one way to make the best. You know that's Jack Daniel's. Jack could have been like all those other whiskeys. Instead, they charcoal mellow every single drop of Jack through 10 feet of hard sugar maple charcoal. They only use the water of Cave Springs Hollow right there in Lynchburg, Tennessee, where Jack is made. But we don't need to tell you that, do we? Make it count. Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly. Tennessee whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. That name is still in the Tennessee Jack Daniels. 2020 Jack Daniels. All rights reserved.
Rozier throws. Langham. He's got it. Into the end zone. Touchdown. It's a touchdown. It's a touchdown. Darryl Langham at the pylon on the right side of the end zone. 23 magical yards. Miami has the lead with 6 seconds to go in the game. There's pandemonium at the Doak.
Hawk and Crowder.
Very excited. I'm stocking the whole show with hurricanes all week.
I've noticed.
Stacking the deck in my favor. By the way, before we bring on Tuan Russell, if you're looking for the best Canes gear, want to get geared up for the new season, check out Caneswear in Davie. They're on University Drive next to La Spada's, or you could check out all the stuff online at caneswear.com. Tuan Russell, he is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, played linebacker for the Hurricanes and the Dolphins. He's the athletic director at St. Thomas Aquinas, very good friend of the show. We love Tuan. He's incredibly charitable with his Tuan Russell Foundation, which helps so many kids here in South Florida. So, Tuan, you know we wouldn't miss the opportunity. Heavy on leading up to the Hurricanes' first game, which happens to be in Gainesville against Crowder's Florida Gators. Do you like opening a season this way? You like opening season on the road in a massive game?
I love it. I mean, we get to go play with one of our rivals in the state. And after we beat him, I'm going to have a lot of time to tease Channing. I'm super excited about the game. No, but you know, this is what makes football great. You know, the anticipation of a game like this is, I mean, you can't cut it with a knife. I mean, people are calling me all week long. One of our staff that sits outside of my office every day I come in, she gives me the gator chop as I'm walking into my office. And I said, you won't be chopping next
week. You got to fire her, Tuan. Yeah, you got to fire her.
She knows too much. She knows where the buried. She knows where the bodies are buried. The school might cut me before they cut her.
Well, she's probably extremely intelligent if she's a gator, Tuan. Now you know that.
But Tuan, she was before the GPA went up.
That was free GPA.
It must have been your era.
She's very smart. She's very smart.
but Tuan, because Miami's higher ranked, they're favored in Gainesville, 2.5 point favorites in Gainesville. Like, they have a better quarterback in Cam Ward. But is there any of that, you know, confidence that's wavering? Because we just saw Georgia Tech whoop Florida State. Cam Ward, I would say he does have great numbers. They correct me on that. But he wasn't playing in the SEC. He wasn't playing those big-time schools. The confidence is there for real, or are you just cocky?
No, I'll tell you, man, it's a lot of pressure coming into a game where you got a head coach where people are looking at him, hey, what are you going to do in this third year? There's a lot of pressure. I'm not saying this is a make-or-break season. I mean, obviously we have, you know, Mario locked up for the next 10 years. But when you look at what we are expected to do. This is not in the past where people are saying, hey, I hope Miami gets there. When you look at the resources and the people and the time, the effort and energy that Miami has put into to start this game, the expectation is Miami is going to show up. And I'm going to tell you, I think we're ready. I think we're poised. This has been the year I've been talking about for the last 3 years. And the third year is where I'm going to have a real opinion about my alma mater. And I think they're going to show up in Gainesville. I think they're ready to go. And when 330 hits 329, it's going to be so loud in that stadium because, you know, everybody from all those little hillbilly areas in Gainesville are going to show up. And, they're going to have all the saucing and all the – that made the all the alcohol that they made in their backyard, and everybody gonna come all wet and sloppy. And by the second quarter, the goal of the University of Miami is to make sure they're quiet because we are ready to go. I looked at them in the summer. I mean, it was a different. They practice differently. They're walking differently. They're talking less. And they understand swag comes from playing football. And we're going to find out on Saturday at 3:30 whether the University of Miami has real swag, and real swag is winning games.
You played up at Gainesville when you played for the Hurricanes?
No, No, that was back when they were boycotting us. They didn't like us back then. They wouldn't line up.
They were scared for a while. Still kind of are, and they should be. But Crowder's been just talking. Crowder's just been talking about what that stadium is going to feel like with 90,000 screaming Gators fans. What's the most intimidating place you've ever played, Twan, outside of, you know, the Orange Bowl?
West Virginia. I mean, we used to go up there back in the days when we were in the Big East. We'd go to West Virginia. I mean, it was crazy. I remember coming out of the game, we had just beat them on the last second field goal block, won the game. I mean, you still had people in the stands 10 minutes after the game was over. They were taking the garbage cans and throwing them over the back of the stadium, hitting people. It actually hit Randy Shannon in his head, and he had nerve damage in his arm for years. Like, when you walk, they knew your mama name, they knew your cousin name. I mean, if you had a child, and they were chanting the names of your kids and your family members, telling them what they're going to do to them. I thought they were, I mean, I didn't even pay taxes back then. They're talking about, oh, I'm going to mess up your taxes. I mean, they take football real serious. I mean, those West Virginia fans, I mean, they sitting there with their cousins and their sisters and they all married up, man. They would say the craziest things. I mean, the craziest things. Like, I would have to turn to people like, what are they talking about? And they're like, oh, yeah, you got to be from West Virginia. You know, it's just that they're wild. It was the wildest place. They tried to intimidate you from the moment you walked in. They were pushing our bus. I mean, we had big dudes on our bus now. Like, we're like, hey, we're not worried about it. But when you see like 25,000 people surrounded your bus, and all you see is that blue and gold, and with that, you know, that WV and moving it back and forth, we got nervous. I mean, we had security guards and police officers have to push the people out and make a tunnel just so we can get in and out of the stadium. That place was crazy. I mean, it's crazy.
Wow.
Twan, they told you they don't get you audited? That's a weird. That's a weird.
Man, hey, really? Man, I've never heard that before.
Man, I'm going to tell you, get off the boat. I'm going to mess up your taxes. I'm like, man. I'm
like, that would actually make me nervous. If something like, even in a bar fight or whatever, I'm going to get you audited. That.
I knew they were lying because I was like, I don't even pay taxes. Not back then.
Hey, Twan, it's funny talking about the stadium, because I remember LSU was nasty like that. Tennessee was so big. It was just, it's 110,000 people. I just remember that. Is there any place in the league you played that you have that feeling? Because the NFL wasn't as intense to me.
Man, when we used to go play the Raiders, I'm going to tell you right now, man, it like you went to hell. Like, you would go down and look around and be like, man, the devil here. Like, them people face painted black. They had they looked like they were out of one of them 70 movies with the shoulder like pads and the spike. Mad Max. They look crazy. Yeah. I mean, I looked in the stands and you have a lady, an older lady, got her silver hair, face painted. She stuck the I don't know what you call them, like the metal spikes all on her face, and she's like, "We gonna kick your butt." I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna stay away from you." I mean, these people look crazy, but that's what it's about, you know. That, like, when you look at, you know, Kansas City, when you look at, you know, places like that, like, I mean, those are the places that you want to go and play. Those are the environments that you want to be in, because you want to be able to say, "Hey, we stomped their face in their home." In their home city. But yeah, I played in a couple. You know, I'll tell you who was a tough place to play too, is when we were in the Big East, we used to play Rutgers. I know it sounds weird, but they used to throw like batteries at us the first time I ever saw snow was at that game. They would throw batteries at us and cans at us. Because we know we go in there and whoop their butt. And at halftime, they throwing stuff at us, acting crazy, man. Some of these places are death traps. If you're not careful, you got to keep your helmet on. Never take your helmet off.
Well, it's like you say, you know, with the Hurricanes on Saturday, like, you like that atmosphere because by the second quarter, you want to have shut them up, which means that obviously you're doing what you need to be doing. You know, you said that you believe in them. We had Gino on the week before, and he said he believes in Cam Ward and the Canes this year. You know, FSU has already lost. A lot of the experts going into the season had Clemson, FSU, or the Hurricanes as the possible ACC winners. So could this be the season? I know you said you're walking around practice and they've got a different vibe about them, and it is Mario's third year. But it probably all hinges on Cam Ward, no?
It does. I mean, number one, it hinges on our defense. I mean, we have, you know, we have Reuben Bain coming back, who I'm excited about seeing him in his sophomore year just dominate and be a physical specimen. I'm excited to see what happens in that defense. I mean, I even heard word that, you know, the Canes from St. Thomas is down there making some noise. You know, I'm excited to see those guys get an opportunity to play. So I think our defense is going to have to represent every single week. And at the end of the day, we're going to have to make the throws, and we're going to have to hand the ball off, and the only person that's going to be able to do that is Cam Ward. And we're going to go as he goes. I don't think he has to win every game. I think some games he can be a field manager and get the ball to Streppo and get it to some of those wide receivers, and I think we're going to be successful. And then there's going to be one or two games where he's going to have to line up and be a dude, and that's why we brought him here, to be a dude. So that's an opportunity to find out what we're really about. And if you look at our schedule is favorable this year. We don't play Clemson. You know, we have a favorable schedule. Even when you see us play our top opponents, they're spread out. I think we have the type of schedule where we can win our conference and be right in the mix at the end of the year to make a run. And I think we're built right. And by the end of the year, if we can stay healthy, I think that people are going to be nervous about playing us, because by that time, we're going to have some experience and we're going to have some opportunity for these guys to grow up a little bit. And very quickly, we became a stronger team with some of the transfers that we have and some of these guys going through their maturation process at the University of Miami. They're going to be more mature. And teams that have older athletes on their team have a higher ability to win. I think we're older, we're more mature, and we're going to have an opportunity to play some real football this year and accomplish some of the things that people have been talking about.
Antoine, you said you've been down there, because it was one game, I think the Canes were playing Wisconsin in the bowl, and we were at Dave and Buster's, and the Canes walked in, and then Wisconsin walked in. And I looked at Hawk and said, Hawk, I'm going to take those grown men over those middle schoolers that I'm looking at over there.
Yeah, we look little.
They look different. Is it, as you're watching them, this is the only week I can't say we, Twan.
We'd have made a good hurricane, Crowder. We're all in agreement. He'd have made a good hurricane.
Do they have them dudes, Twan? Do y'all got some 6'6", 340s, them big grown men that can protect Cam Ward, but also get down there and nasty in the trenches?
We're never going to step on the field and be the largest team in the country. That's just because, I mean, speed is always going to be the key, but we have definitely made an investment in being bigger. If you look at our front lines, offense and defensive lines, they look differently. They look like they belong in the ACC. They look like they can play against the SEC team. I mean, there have been years where we step on the field, I'm like, man, we look little. I think people are not going to notice the difference as much. I don't think we're going to be the biggest team in every game that we play. But I think we're built in a way where we have enough speed, but at the same time, we're big enough to be able to play the game. And I think I don't ever want to step on the field and be the biggest team, because if you have enough speed and you have enough size, you can win. I think we have enough size, and I think we have enough speed. But no one's ever going to say Miami's like the biggest team. We're never – I don't see us being looking like an Alabama or Georgia. But we look more like an Alabama or a Georgia. We look more – when you look at it from a size standpoint, you're like, man, that's a grown man, right? Man, that's a big old dude. And they're bringing in these young, tall, long kids, and by the time they graduate, you know, in their fourth year, they're going to look like grown men. They're going to be 280-pound defensive linemen who came in at, you know, 230, 240 because – that's what's happening right now. I think we look great. I think we're going to be fast and be strong. And I think it's going to be an exciting year to see these guys perform.
Well, this is a big one Saturday, Twan. And I love talking Canes with you. And there is a little part of me after the FSU debacle on Saturday that says, ooh, I don't, but man, I think the Canes are legit. But I'm with you. It's year three. And this is the year that Mario has to shine. And this is a big game at a really tough place to play. And I just can't stress the importance of this game Saturday, because I don't know how we're going to cope. Because you said it yourself, like the big games are kind of spread out. You're not going to have much time to get the taste of this one out of your mouth if it does go south for a while. Like, this is such an important game for the Hurricanes on Saturday.
I think Mario is stepping into this game with a little chip on his shoulder. When you hear the pundits talking about questioning his ability, questioning who he is as a man. I know Mario as a person. I knew him when we were in college. He's a grown man, and he has great pride, and he has pride in what he does. And he's going to be lining up just like with – he's going to be lined up on that sideline, maybe not in pads and helmets and shoulder pads, but he's going to be lined up, ready to go with his guys. They're coming into this game with a different mentality. People are questioning the respect of who we are from a coaching standpoint, who we are as a school. And I think the University of Miami is taking it personal, and I think we have a great opportunity to back it up this year. And I can't wait. And I can't wait until 3:30 to see our guys play. And I know I had a little bit of fun with Crowder earlier, but we're playing a good Gators team. We're playing a team that, you know, the pundits have questioned, and they're coming in with a chip too. But at the end of the day, all these kids know each other. They're all from Florida. They've all known each other and played against each other in 7-on-7s and played against each other in different teams in the playoffs and all those things as a state competes to go to the state championship. So all these kids know each other. This is for bragging rights. This is for team pride. This is for who owns the state of Florida. And there's going to be a fast, furious, hard-hitting game, and we're all going to enjoy it. And I think the University of Miami is going to end the game victorious.
Hey, Twan, what you know about moonshine? You just tried to act like you don't know what moonshine is, but you knew exactly what it was.
No, I mean, I watch a lot of people drink moonshine. You know, you talk about it all the time, moonshine. How much moonshine you done made?
Oh, I got plenty of moonshine.
Makes it during the show.
That's gasoline. Moonshine like gasoline. I done seen people drink it. I ain't seen them drink it long, but I saw them drink it. That I don't, you know me, I'm a water kind of guy.
you ain't drinking moonshine to do nothing than napping. That's a nap.
Crowder just drink a glass of Everclear like it was a Diet Coke. Didn't even affect him.
You know what? First, for her to Everclear, I went to New Orleans, and it was 1992. We were playing Alabama. And, you know, I guess some of the guys they experienced Everclear. They put it in. They put Everclear inside of a smoothie drink. And you don't taste the Everclear, so you think it's just a smoothie drink. Man, we had dudes sitting on the side of the street, didn't know how they were going to get back to their room. That Everclear, that's moonshine?
That'll wreck you. Yeah, Everclear is just pure grain alcohol, no? Yeah. I learned about it when I came to UM, and that's what people tell me to do. Oh, Everclear, whatever we were drinking, oh, pour some Everclear in there. You won't even taste it. And then I tasted a sip of Everclear without pouring it in anything. I still have the aftertaste in my mouth.
They were trying to rob you, Hawk. Just trust me.
I believe they did.
Hey, taste this. Your pocket's be empty.
I thought I saw someone on campus driving my Mitsubishi Eclipse the next day. I didn't park
it
over
there.
You
had a Mitsubishi Eclipse, too?
I did.
My first car in the world was a Mitsubishi Eclipse. It was gold, like a tan gold, and it was a stick. Yeah, that thing was all right. That thing, I got rid of it though when I went to the league. I could be driving up to the campus in a Mitsubishi Eclipse.
Oh, I loved my Mitsubishi Eclipse. Then I used to let when I got my first radio job out in Belglade. I kept letting this old gentleman every afternoon told me he didn't have a car and he wanted to go get lunch. He would take my Mitsubishi Eclipse every afternoon. I'd give him the keys because I was on the air. And then finally, someone at the radio station said to me, you know where he's going every afternoon in your Mitsubishi Eclipse? Because if someone in the law enforcement arena sees him, you are no longer going to have a Mitsubishi Eclipse. It was the end of my Mitsubishi Eclipse.
Hey, Channing, what would you say if somebody was driving to work when you were playing in a Mitsubishi Eclipse?
Oh, you wouldn't make it out of that locker room that day, Twan. We have you crying. Damn, Twan, that's your old lady car? Why are you
that's great. Twan Russell, we love you, Twan. We'll talk to you plenty during football season.
All right, man. You guys take care.
There you go, Twan Russell, former Cane, former Gator, sharing memories of a Mitsubishi Eclipse, which was a great car, but not as good as the car that Solana's about to tell you about.
That's right.
Did your grandma pass the Eclipse to you?
You never seen an Eclipse. You never seen it. That was a hatchback. That was a sharp car.
With the little hump in the hood.
The hump in the hood. Oh.
That was a sharp car. Your grandma loved hers, and she gave it to you.
That was a sharp car.
Tell him about a real car, Solana.
Hawk thought he was in Too Fast, Too Furious with the Mitsubishi Eclipse.
I was. Me and Twan pulling up to Coral Gables on Mitsubishi Eclipses. Look out, Rascaler.
Paul Walker and Tyrese Gibson at the Ratsco.
That's what we thought we were.
Rome and Brian O'Connor from Too Fast, Too Furious.
Oh, but the Eclipse.
Pockets ain't empty, cut.
I love my Canes.
Hawk and Crowder.